And what we're going to talk about today is revival. In case you didn't guess by the music, you know, God didn't give me a Mother's Day message, but he did give me a message about revival to lift up. And I guess that could go hand in hand. We're going to start out by talking about the children of Israel. You know, in our Bible studies, we've been going through the Old Testament, and we've been looking at how they had good times, they had bad times. Times that they drew away from God because they weren't listening. They weren't paying attention anymore, so God brought in a punishment on them. And we're going to pick it up in about the year 593 B.C., when God's children were exiled into Babylonia. And they were sorrowful. They were broken up. They were scattered. They were dry. But God sent a prophet to them, a prophet named Ezekiel. And he not only called their attention to their wicked ways, but also brought a message of hope. So Ezekiel, he was captive too. He was captive in 597 B.C., so he was right there in it. He knew what was going on, but he heard the word of the Lord. So if you want to pick up your Bibles, or it'll probably be up here behind me, I'm going to start reading in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I sent this scripture out, a couple of these scriptures out in the last week or so, so some of you are going to hear them again. And I shared them so some of the men could be praying about this message and what it has for us. So it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me, this is Ezekiel speaking, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in my own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message that you give the prophet Ezekiel. Father, your words ring true then, they ring true now. They hold the same from the nation Israel and for the Christians in this country, in this world today. Father, I just pray that you will use me to deliver this message. Father, you will remove me and only your words will come out. And Father, I pray for this congregation that our hearts are open and ready to receive, but more than that, Father, they listen, they pay attention, and they're ready to make changes where changes need to be made in their lives. Father, I just lift them up to you, and I just ask that you would bless this congregation in a mighty way. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. You know, in different times in our lives, we have situations where we feel that all hope is gone. There's nowhere else to turn. And this is what Ezekiel was speaking to the nation of Israel. The vision that God gave Ezekiel, the people of Israel were viewed upon as dry bones, scattered everywhere in an open valley. The bones were disconnected from one another. So just think if our lives could be disconnected from our families, from our church family here, just scattered, and we no longer feel that closeness, that openness. These bones had no moisture in them. They were no good to anyone. You know, if you ever saw an animal chew on a bone or after that marrow, that sweetness that's inside of those bones, well, these bones had none of that. They were completely dry. And the Jews in Babylon were just like these bones. But God asked Ezekiel a tough question. He said, can these bones live? Now, how would you have answered that if you were Ezekiel? Ezekiel knew he had no power. He couldn't do anything with those bones. But also he knew that he didn't want to limit the power of God. So his response was, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel admitted he had no idea. There was nothing in his power. And I'm sure he's thinking, God, I want to see what you can do. I give up. I give it to you because I have no power. And that's an accurate picture of God's children then, and I believe it's an accurate picture of God's children here. We're disconnected, we're scattered, we're dry. We have no connection with each other or with God. And sometimes I think we've lost our hope in how to correct that situation. But it's time as a people, we say just like Ezekiel, O Lord God, you know. You know how to take care of this. You're the one that can fix this. So what could God do? Well, if we look back to our scriptures, the first thing he did, he told Ezekiel to prophesy. Prophesy, preach the word of God. He prayed, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Isn't that what happens from this pulpit every Sunday morning? Pastor Darren stands up here and prophesies to us, preaches the word of God. See, the word of God comes down to Darren, and Darren speaks it out to us. Just like Ezekiel was to speak to those dry bones in that valley, scattered everywhere. Ezekiel was told to speak directly to the dry bones. That's what happens in here every Sunday morning. Pastor Darren speaks directly to us if we're listening, if we're paying attention. Ezekiel said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I can say the same thing here today. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You might say, well, what's the significance of Ezekiel saying it and saying it that way? Well, the important thing is that God knew he had to get their attention. That sounds funny talking about dry bones, but just think of the power of the Lord and what he's about to do. And the same thing holds true here today for Pastor Darren and for what I say. Need to get your attention. Need to get everyone focused on what God is about to say. He's saying, listen. Listen to what I have to say and pay attention to what the words mean. The bones were dry. They were spiritually dead. They were out lying in the scorching heat of the sun. They were certainly not getting any nurturing. Christians here today, not only this church, this town, but this country, are lying out in a sizzling heat, disconnected. And it's a sizzling heat from the, I'm going to call it the right wing because I don't have a better word, that seeks to crush the Word of God, that seeks to make everything we say and do illegal or immoral. We cannot stand up for our beliefs because of the heat that is put on us today. And I'm not whining about that, because our God is bigger than any of that. This is just like the scattered bones of the Israelites. We allowed it to happen because we turned a deaf ear to our Creator, our God. So he said, these bones are seemingly without hope, but they're not. They were separated by one another. It was not humanly possible to achieve anything more here. But when God begins to work, it's amazing. When God works in our lives, it's a waking up call. We need to pay attention. What God is saying then and what he's saying now is, perk up your ears. I got more information to come. So Ezekiel spoke directly to the dry bones. He said, dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. See, many things begin with words. Many things, you just have to state a goal. He said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes we have to make a commandment. I'm going to go to college. That starts the process. I'm going to look for a new job. That starts a process. I'm going to get a new car. That starts a process. Hopefully the process involves God. We have to begin a process. We have to begin a process with sometimes stating a word and meaning it. I believe that scriptures support this. Look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. Jesus says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, I'm not one that says you say it, you can claim it, not by a long shot. But I'm telling you that Jesus tells us here, there's no mountain too big that we can't overcome, and nothing that we can say that God won't help us with. Sometimes the answer is no, but there's no problem too big. And this tells me I have the right to make a statement and say, I need to begin. Mark 11 gives us authority, I believe, to speak to our current situation. And that's the dead, dry bones that we all possess. You see, sometimes we don't ever speak that word. We don't say the command that I need to change, and we don't. We do nothing. And nothing ever changes. It remains the same. So we have to begin a process in some way. And you know, while we're standing here waiting, when we're not changing, God's up there. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's waiting for us. He knows what we need to do, and he's waiting for us to get focused on it. Dry bones. What are our dry bones in today's world? It could be anything. It could be sickness, unemployment, debt. We could be discouraged. It could be hopelessness, a lack of love. Ezekiel said, hear the word of the Lord, and that's what I'm saying today. Hear the word of the Lord for any unpromised situation you're in. But Ezekiel didn't stop at this point. Hope comes through the word of God. The actual words of the prophecy is what caused the dead bones to begin their transformation. Ezekiel obeyed in speaking them out. He repeated what God had told him to say after he got their attention. And what was it the Lord was saying? He said, I will cause breath to enter. I will lay sinews upon you. I will lay flesh upon you. And I will lay skin upon you. Now, this is just a broad outline of what God was going to do. The restoration, the whole picture. But it didn't happen instantly. It happened little bit by little bit. The Lord gives us hope many times in His Word that miracles can and do happen. And we need to stand on that promise. But sometimes we think our situations, the things around us, should change instantly. Right after we say the word amen, it could happen, but usually it doesn't. Usually there's some time, a little space. You see, in this vision of Ezekiel's, the bones started to come together. But first there was a noise and a shaking. And then the sinew, the muscle, the skin, it all come together one after the other. Now God could have done it in a word and made everything whole and made everything breathe, but He didn't. He did it in pieces. He did it in steps. Sometimes in the midst of our hopelessness, we don't see God working because we expect it all to happen at once. We fail to see the little steps. First the bones joining together, then the sinew, then the muscle, then the skin. A lot of times God works like that for us, a little bit at a time, till we understand what's going on. We recognize the fact that He is at work in our lives, and we're praising Him for it, and we're thanking Him every step of the way. Every little piece lets us step up, lets us get higher. Got a little story for you. Everybody likes stories. This is about an old farmer and his old mule on his old farm. One day, the old mule fell down a well, and he heard his mule down there braying and braying, and he went and looked. Well, the well was dry. The well was of no use anymore. And he looked at the mule, and the mule was pretty old. The mule really wasn't worth anything anymore either. So he went to his neighbors and gathered up some neighbors and explained what had happened. And he enlisted their help to help him haul dirt. And he decided he was just going to bury that old useless mule in that well. So him and his neighbors started shoveling dirt down the well. Scared that mule something fierce. The dirt had hit his back and he'd shake it off. More dirt had hit his back and he'd shake it off. Then he noticed he could step up on the dirt. More dirt had hit his back, he'd shake it off, he'd step up. Shake off the dirt, step up. Shake off the dirt, step up. And this kept going on all afternoon until finally he was high enough that the mule stepped over the well, the edge of the well, and was free. And sometimes doesn't that feel like that for us? We keep getting dirt shoveled on our backs. Nothing seems to be going right. But we forget the fact that God's there and we can just step up. A lot of times, the hard things that come into our lives, there's a little bit of glory mixed in with it, a little bit of the Lord. We have to see Him. We have to know to step up and keep raising ourselves up, just like that mule did. See, Ezekiel continued to prophesy, and little more things began to unfold. He began to see God working in steps until the skeletons were together. They had skin. But still, there was something missing. It wasn't complete yet. There was something still not right. You see, they didn't have breath in them yet. So God called on him to prophesy again, to call on the four winds. See, God's mindful of our needs. And now God shifted from using words to using an action. And that's causing the breath to come in them. From all directions, he said, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And through the action of God, breath came into them. God's caused the work to be completed that he started. And they were on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And they would know that it was God that breathed life into them. You see, resurrection is unnatural in our world. It can't happen. But it is possible with God. It's true with God, and it's possible. It's the power of God. Jesus pointed it out in John 11:25. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's no resurrection in nature, but there is resurrection in the power of God. And there's resurrection from our sins. Ephesians 2:1-2 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, we can have our life back even when we stray away. We fall away from God. We fall into our sinful ways just as Israel did. God makes a way back for us. You see, the dry bones represented the whole house of Israel over 600 years ago. He gave a promise of restoring his people. And that promise holds true for us today. God rekindled the hope of a nation. And God can rekindle the hope of this body of believers. He can rekindle the hope of this country. We can rekindle hope by remembering the past. Do you remember how you used to sing? Do you remember how you used to worship? Do you remember how you used to praise? Do you remember when the Spirit's fire burned bright? When you had a soul on fire? Well, don't forget the God that brought you this far. He'll continue to carry you. See, our hope's built on the solid foundation of God's faithfulness. He's always there. And our hope is sustained for the fact that God is still working in our lives, just as he was when you first found Christ. It's the same God. It's the same power. It's the same Holy Spirit. So how are your spiritual bones today? Are they vibrant or are they all dry and dusty? What about the mountains that you're facing in your life today? Are you facing them with worry and despair? Are you facing them with the help of the Lord, with our God Almighty? Maybe you're just cruising through life right now. Maybe an occasional bump in the road, but no major problems. Maybe nothing exciting's happening, but you're content. No problems, no worries. Maybe you have dry bones and just don't know it. You see, we look back over our history, God's people. They forget who God was. They didn't realize their bones were getting dry and dusty. They slowly slipped into sin. So how do you know if your bones are getting dry today? When there is no desire for Bible study and prayer. Maybe spiritual conversation embarrasses you. You avoid it. Maybe you start to rationalize sin. Maybe you can quote scripture and attend services, but it hasn't made a difference in your life. Maybe your life revolves around your money. Maybe it no longer bothers you to see others in misery and spiritually lost. Maybe when worship service to God doesn't excite you anymore. Maybe when Sunday morning is the only commitment you make to God, the only time you spend with Him. If any of these eight things apply to your life, your bones are dry, and it's time to make a change. See, I don't know where any of you are right now, where your life is. You might be facing mountains of problems. You might be full of despair. You might be cruising through life with no joy, with no excitement. Or you may be serving the Lord with gladness and rejoicing every day. And if you are, I praise God for each and every one of you that are serving Him. But for everyone else, God's waiting for you to turn back to Him. But you're not alone. There's hundreds and thousands, if not millions, that call themselves Christians, that are Christians by word only. So speak your problem to God. Don't be afraid. Pray. Admit you have a problem. Admit you can't do it alone, that you need His strength. You need His wisdom. And wait for God to act. Look for Him. Listen for His direction. Isn't that where we fail so many times? We want to pray and then we just drop it. We don't listen. We don't wait. We don't look. Or maybe if God brings someone into our life, we just dismiss them. You know, I'm waiting on God. I don't need to listen to you. But that might be God talking to you. That might be God whispering in your ear. The next thing is, this is the hard one. Make the changes that God asks you to do. Once you hear Him, once you know it's God, be quick to make the changes. See, an outcome pleasing to God requires us to take an action pleasing to God, which means if He tells us to do something, we need to do it. We need to make that change and not rationalize our sin or how we're leading our life. In the midst of your despair, get ready for God to do a new thing. Maybe He's going to shake you up. Thank you, youth. That was their song for the day. But just look forward to what is going to happen. Whatever God has for you is going to be better than what you have now. And I think sometimes we forget that. We're scared as a people, I do believe. We're scared of change. We're scared of what God wants to do in our life. See, we forget who God is. God is our Creator. He wants only what is best for us. Yeah, maybe I have to give up something that's tied to this world that I had my heart set on. But you know what? Whatever God replaces it with is better. Guaranteed. See, He's a God of His Word. He's a God of action. And God will restore your hope. Psalm 39:7, David said, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You." Let's everybody stand up. King David said it best, "What do I wait for?" What is there today that would stop you from examining yourself and praying to God to show you where you need to make a change in your life? You know, I don't want you to raise your hands or anything, but is there anyone in here that truly believes that there is no change in your life that God wants you to make? I think that holds true for all of us. There's some area that we need to take care of. And I want to challenge you to pray that prayer and ask God to reveal that to you. And then to help you give it up and replace it with whatever He wants to bring into your life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, all through your word, the great men have recorded these messages for us. Time and time again, you tell us what it takes to draw close to you. You've demonstrated your love. You've demonstrated your love through Jesus Christ. You've made a way for us to approach you unencumbered, just to humble ourselves, bring our words to you, Father. And Father, I pray this morning, Father, I beg this morning that you will reveal to us those things in our lives that you call sin, the things that we rationalize over, we push to the side, Father, the things we don't dare reveal to our families, to our fellow Christians, because we hold on to them. Father, I just pray for revival fire to burn, to light us all up, Father, to make us once again unified and marching forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, consume us, consume our sins, that we may glorify you and proclaim your name in the streets. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, you can't pray down revival. You can't sing it down. You can't have pack a pew night or feed the youth pizza night. Any of those things, they don't bring revival. Revival comes when we realize we have to make a change, and we have to do it now. Revival, God sends down when our hearts are ready and not before. When our hearts are ready, God speaks to us, the revival comes down, then revival comes to the church. I'm not just talking about this body of believers. I'm talking about all Christians. We've seen it many times, a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. I've talked about it at our prayer meetings, at the Bible studies. So I can't pray down, preach down, or pray down a revival. That's up to everyone standing here. There's more than enough people here to start an outpouring of God. It only takes one man, two men, three. It'll multiply. We start on Wednesday nights devoting ourselves to prayer. We'll look at a scripture, we'll read the scripture, have a little discussion and pray. And I want to ask you to please join us. And you know, if you can't join us, that's fine. I know you're busy. I know there's people have kids. Things go on. Send us a text. Let us know you're thinking about the prayer. You can send it to me. You guys all have my numbers. It's in the bulletin today. I have some doing it already. And I'll read the text to our group. And you know what? It warms my heart to know that there are more people thinking about it, more people praying than just the warm bodies that are here in this church. It shows unity. It shows I care enough that I'm going to set aside some time and pray. I care enough and I believe enough that prayer will change people, that prayer will change things. So it's time. If you can't be here, get your phone out and send us a text. Let us know you're praying. Does it change anything? Not really. But it works wonders for the body of the believers to know that we're all unified in prayer. And I'm sure it's going to grow, and I'm sure that it's going to expand. Maybe there's someone here today that this message was nonsense. It's hard to understand. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet. And I would love to talk to you about him. Or if you have questions about revival or anything else, please stop. I'd love to talk to you. Anytime. This altar is open for you to come and you can pray. Make a commitment to God today. I think there's a scripture up there. That's another scripture I shared. When you're ready to humble yourself and pray to God, He's ready to listen.